Hear now a reading from Matthew. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking towards them on the sea. But the disciples saw him walking on the sea, and they were terrified, and they said, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and began to sink, and he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why do you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God.
The late John Lewis has been fittingly remembered by most of America in recent weeks. And his courage and heroism will hopefully never be forgotten. I have never forgotten his account of Bloody Sunday, that momentous day in the civil rights movement when Alabama state troopers, sheriff's deputies, and a horse-mounted posse violently attacked Lewis and about 600 other protesters as they attempted to cross the Edmund Pettus Bridge in protest of the murder of another activist shot and killed by a state trooper. In his memoir, Walking with the Wind, Lewis recounted the moment he stood there at the front of the line of marchers as they stared down at the phalanx of armed Alabama troopers. A minister named Hosea Williams was standing beside Lewis when they reached the crest of the bridge, saw the sea of blue-helmeted troopers, and both stopped dead still. As Lewis told it in his memoir, it was a drop of 100 feet from the top of that bridge to the river below. Hosea glanced down at the muddy water and said, "Can you swim?" "No," I answered. "Well," he said with a tiny half smile, "neither can I." "But," he added, lifting his head and looking straight ahead, "we might have to." Then we moved. Reading today's text in light of that story makes me wonder whether or not Jesus himself could swim. And even more, it makes me wonder what it is that would have Jesus or John or Hosea or any of the rest of us dare to look straight ahead and step headlong into whatever seas might be awaiting us and do so without fainting or faltering and without sinking inside ourselves for fear of what is to come upon us. That is the essence of this story today, I think. It's a story about how to have courage through the storm and through the night, and how to keep on walking over the water even when we can't swim, but know we may have to. Jesus says to the disciples, "Go to the other side." This is more than a geographical location. The other side is a metaphor. It is a divine destination. It is that place to which we are afraid or do not want, but know that we need to go. And it is the place where the adverse winds set themselves up against us, making it hard to get there. It is the place to which we must press on towards because we believe the power of God's goodness and mercy, justice and righteousness must reach every place in our world, whether personal or public. Read the text and you will see that there are hurting people on the other side of the lake. People sick and hurting without adequate health care. And the gospel of God's goodness has to reach them. It has to include them. And that's what's going on the other side. And that's where Jesus is sending the disciples. We are a church here at Broadway of reconciliation. That is at the heart of the congregation's mission statement. We are called to be ambassadors of God's good news, of God's reconciling and redeeming work in Jesus Christ. In Christ, for all of us, there is a oneness, a unity, a compassion, and an inclusion. And we are called to cross over whatever waters are necessary to bring about the beloved community we believe in and want everyone to belong to. It is a vision, and we can see it. It is just across the sea. But there are white caps and winds, and it's a long ways across the water. So it takes courage and real conviction to get there. And about halfway across, we think what we always think when we're setting out for a destination that isn't easily attainable. We think we ain't ever gonna get there. That's what the disciples must have thought as they were rowing all night and getting nowhere. I'm sure they thought what I would have thought had I been in the boat with them. Why in the world are we out here on these troubled waters while Jesus is back safely on the shore? Now, granted, troubled or tranquil, I don't much like any kind of water. I'm from Lubbock. We don't believe in water. But these were fishermen by trade, and they had been raised to row. And yet, a sinking feeling, no pun intended, okay, pun intended, must have come over them as darkness descended on that lake, and it looked like they weren't ever gonna get to the other side. In fact, it looked like there was a good chance they were gonna be lost at sea. And then through the storm and through the night, Jesus came to them walking on the water. We ask how he did that, and we do not know. Like the feeding of the 5,000 in the scene before, it is a mystery hidden with God. But there is, I think, a clue in the text. The lesson says Jesus had been up on the mountain praying through the first watches of the night before he came to the disciples in the last. And to me, it's as if the scripture is telling us the one who has prayed through the first three watches of the night can walk on water in the fourth, which was probably Peter's problem. Peter, whom the disciples may have later joked, had been given the name Peter or Rock because out on the water that night, he must have sunk like a stone. Peter was not really ready to walk on water. He was not spiritually mature enough to do so. He was still too heavy, too full of himself. And who among us would have done any better? And yet, that is just what we need. A prayer life now so powerful that it can carry us deep into the darkness of the night. A light within us so luminary that it makes even the midnight as light as the day. A spiritual force so substantive and convicting that it compels us to step headlong into the winds of this world, yet still so kind and gentle that it breaks not a single molecule of water as it glides upon the glassy sea. Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of life's wild, restless sea. Day by day, his sweet voice soundeth, saying, "Christian, follow me." This is what it means to be brave, to be strong, to be kind, and to be love. And only a deep spiritual force, what Gandhi called soul force, a nonviolent, truth-telling, deep, and abiding spirituality can make it happen. And that is gained only in study and in prayer and in deep spiritual preparation for the struggle that is at hand. St. Paul said, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That is what is symbolized by the storm in this story. It is all that would keep us apart. It is all that pushes against us as we try to create community, as we try to bring about unity and human flourishing, as we try to make it to the other side. It is chaos. It is death. It is segregation and division. It is everything that sets itself up against God's ordered world. It is the rebellion of the spiritual forces of this world in resistance to the coming of God's kingdom and the coming of God's goodness. And we, you and I, us, the church, together, we are called to set ourselves into all of that with courage and resolve, determined strength, and deep, deep inner peace. Jesus does call us o'er the tumult. He calls us to the other side. He calls us to board the boat of togetherness and set out on the rough sea. He calls us to row hard and steadfast until he comes, and dare the darkness until the light finds us. He calls us to pray and to keep on praying. He calls us to have faith. He calls us to be the bridge in this world. He calls us to be not afraid. Maybe we can't walk on water. Maybe we can't even swim across it. Maybe we can't even row our boat gently down the stream. Regardless, Jesus has told us that we need to cross over, and we have to go. And whether wind or rain or dark or danger, sink or swim, we trust that through the storm and through the night, Jesus will be out there with the light. And when we go down or simply lose our way in the waves, he will come and he will find us, and he will take our hands and he will take our boat and lead us safely to the other side together. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God and saving Mother of us all, and all of God's people then said, Amen.